This is Paloma.
And this is Rachel.
And this is Good Girls Don't.
And welcome back. We are still alive.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Made it through another day.
Alive somehow. I think we're alive, right?
Yeah, fine. Like,
this
sure.
is not the afterworld.
No. God, I hope not, because I just did dishes, so. That's not that fun.
Yeah. Gotta pick your activities more wisely.
I don't know. Is that purgatory? Yeah. Maybe we didn't make it.
Oh, shit.
And we're stuck together, too.
I couldn't tell if you meant that was a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, no, it's a good thing.
Okay, we're stuck together.
Oh, gosh. Oh, even in purgatory.
Very sensitive. You're stuck with me, sorry.
I know. Okay, well, here we are in
here
the afterlife.
Are. Yeah.
So last night was really fun, Rachel.
I know, but I wasn't there. I had a different kind of fun.
I know. So,
but I'm still having that what do the kids call it? FOMO, fear of missing out. So
that's oh my God, you just taught me something new. I'm so embarrassed.
You didn't know that term?
I don't know about that.
FOMO?
FOMO.
FOMO. Okay. Fear of missing out. Oh, for real. Yeah.
Wow, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, okay. You're welcome.
Rachel with the pop culture.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. Anyway, back to last night.
So Bobby played a show last night.
Yes.
And usually his shows are in bars, so Rosalie doesn't get to go. But it was a...
Her fake ID doesn't quite... Yeah, no. Nobody believes it.
Doesn't quite go over. But he played at the Bicycle Kitchen in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was for Second Saturday, but there's not like an art installation there, right?
No, it's just part of the... I think like people are... they're out, they're making the rounds, and it's a yeah. stop. Yeah.
But it was fun, so Rosalie got to go because yeah. it was not a bar. And so all day, or actually for the past week, she's wanted to be in the band because she knew aww. We were going to this. And she keeps saying, I want to be in the band. And she's like, practiced. But she practiced drums, which yeah. she didn't do that. But anyway, she got to actually play tambourine in the band last night with her daddy.
I saw the video. It was really cute.
It was really, really cute. She didn't like it at first. She kind of screamed and cried. But then like...
Wait, on stage she did?
Yeah, she came up and then they started playing. She's like...
I didn't see. The video that I saw did not show that.
No. Because then she came back a few times.
Yeah.
And then she warmed up to it. And then she got kind of
wild.
What
I love is that I didn't realize that she had been practicing all week. And that makes me think, it's like, is she like the Yoko Ono of daughters? Like,
yes. Well, she always wants to play the band. That's what she says. I want to play the band. And aww. So I have to play drums and she sings and she makes up these songs and they're hilarious.
Aww.
So playing the band, she wasn't like technically practicing because she wasn't practicing tambourine.
And she wasn't practicing like the Slattern 5 songs.
No,
she's just doing her own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's that band member. Yeah. Who's like, guys, why can't we play my song?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's Rosalie. Anyway, if she's into that, that's fantastic.
I am really sorry I missed it. So last night I was babysitting my niece and my nephew with my mom. My brother and sister-in-law went out for the first time since they had my nephew. This is their first night out, like since they had baby Bobby.
And,
yeah. So they were really excited to go, but they wanted two babysitters there because they were worried. Worried about.
It's a lot.
And let me tell you, it was a lot.
You were glad you had backup.
Yeah. My mom and I were both like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. Like,
I gotta be honest, if we had another kid, I might need backup.
Yeah. Like, so Audrey, my niece, you know, she's 6 months older than Rosalie, I think. And she was pretty...
Is she 6 months older?
Or, I'm sorry, younger.
Oh,
six
okay.
months younger.
Okay.
Yeah, 6 months younger. She was pretty well behaved. She's a little... You know, she does, I think I was telling you earlier, she's not real fond of sharing, but she's really good with her little baby brother. Like, I'm really happy. Yeah. Like, she's super good older big sister, very caring and everything. And then, you know, little baby Bobby, he's 4 months old. So what does he do? He cries. He sleeps.
And he poops.
He poops. And he eats, although he wouldn't really eat. He didn't really want to eat last night. So he's just really fussy. So,
nice.
Yeah. So that was my exciting night. Just, you know, hanging out with, it was actually good. I was hanging out with my mom and, you know,
yeah.
being wholesome, doing babysitting things, being the auntie.
Good. So. Well, I was babysitting last night, essentially, too.
Yeah. But I was like, so I'm on my, I'm like sitting there in the living room. My mom's holding Bobby and like walking him and bouncing him around. And I'm looking at my phone. I'm seeing all these videos from the Bike Kitchen show and I'm all, oh, that looks like fun. But, so anyway, I was there in spirit.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It was good.
Yo.
And you know what? And I'm last night, knowing that you guys were there, it's like a reminder that we're all still alive.
Yes.
And things aren't complete shit. They just feel like they're complete shit.
Okay. So I'm fairly certain I said this when we first started recording our podcast, that my biggest fear about a Donald Trump presidency was North Korea.
Yeah, I'm
like,
pretty
sure
you did.
That keeps me up at night. And yeah. if I haven't said it, I meant it, and I wrote it to people.
I know that we have talked about it before. I don't know if you explicitly said it was your biggest fear, but I know that we've talked about this subject before, back when it felt way more abstract.
Yeah.
Sort of like a theoretical possibility. Now it feels really fucking real.
Yeah.
Like, you and I literally were texting on Tuesday night, like, well, what are we going to do if this, you know, what's our plan? What's our
We had our nuclear fallout plan.
We have a nuclear fallout plan, as all friends should have.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't already, talk to your BFF and make sure you have a nuclear fallout plan.
Well, you know, after 9/11, I actually made a plan with my mom for, like, worst case scenario. And over the years, we've kind of talked about it again and again. Yeah. And I've, you know, brought up with Bobby a few times. There have been a few things have happened where I brought it up with him, but this is one thing. It's like, okay, you remember what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, no, I'm glad that you and I had our text exchange, because I was sort of like, I felt slightly comforted. It was like, okay, this is, we have a plan in place. Like, I was done texting with you, and I was like, I go into Corey, I'm like, okay, so I just want you to know that Pullman and I have figured things out. And he's like, okay,
yeah, we got this.
Yeah, we got this. I mean, if things really go south fast, Corey and I do have our basement. We have a quarter basement, which is really tiny. I can't really imagine it being a shelter, but it's sort of our super emergency.
I think in that scenario, though, anything is a shelter.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's like, you know, so here's like one of the millions of scary things. So, you know, they're talking about North Korea targeting Guam, which, yeah. goddamn, it's like, poor Guam. Why did they have to be caught in the crosshairs of two fucking idiots, you know, trying to outmaneuver one another,
whipping out their tiny dicks,
outdick each other.
Yeah.
Sorry, but it's like, so I'm looking, and I guess in Guam they've actually been distributing pamphlets on what to do. This mm-hmm. is like how real it's becoming.
Yeah.
It's like they're distributing pamphlets on what to do in the case of, you know, a nuclear bomb or a nuclear missile attack. And it's like, some of them, you know, it's like, don't wear conditioner.
Because I didn't see, because I actually read through that. Yeah. I didn't see that.
One of the things is like not putting conditioner in your hair. And I can't remember the exact reason, but it's something to do with how it reacts to the radioactive elements. And so I mean, on just two levels, I keep thinking, I really feel sorry for the, you know, people who live in Guam. It's just like, this is not their war. This is not their fucking president. I mean, it's a U.S. territory, but it's really not their president. And then I just keep thinking, and I think maybe we talked about this on the last show. Just, I remember when I was in junior high.
No, we talked about this in text.
Yeah. Oh, did we? I remember in junior high. Okay, so it was text. Yeah, I remember in junior high just having this extreme fear of a nuclear attack. And like, when I was in junior high, that there was a TV series or miniseries that came out called The Day After that showed like a nuclear attack on America and what happened. And I, when I was a freshman in high school, I read that novel Hiroshima, you know, about the dropping of the bomb for Hiroshima in Japan. And I had like a really explicit fear of nuclear war. Like when I was in the 8th, 9th, and 10th grade, I would make these posters that I put up in my room, like, not another Hiroshima. Like, and it's kind of funny now, but I was really scared of it. I came of age under Reagan and the Cold War. And now I'm like, I don't want to relive this. Like, why?
Yeah.
This is not... how have we not advanced as a civilization? Because this week was the 71st anniversary of the dropping of the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Yeah. So it's like, okay, so 71 years ago, we dropped nuclear bombs on Japan. What have we not learned?
Well, you know,
we're provoking.
What have we not learned?
What we're provoking, like, a really unstable.
Absolutely.
World, quote unquote, leader. Then again, we have a really unstable, quote unquote,
yes.
leader. And it's just really I mean, I'm like, no joke, it's really unsettling and frightening. And I don't know about you, but it's like, so we were having that text exchange Tuesday. That was after Trump's comments came mm-hmm. about. And literally Wednesday morning, I woke up and I was like, I grabbed my phone.
Yes.
And I was like, what? Okay, first of all, I'm alive. Second of all, what's my phone going to tell me? And there was nothing. There was nothing there. And I was just like, the amount of relief that I felt was overwhelming, and also just sort of like emotionally exhausting.
I got rid of my news alerts months ago because I was starting to get stressed out seeing them.
You're way smarter than me.
But so the thing was, is this week I was like, well, now I need them again. Like, yeah. I actually need them in case I need to take action.
Dear Apple, dear Siri, am I dying?
Can I have that back? Yeah. Like, things aren't going so well.
Siri, am I dying? Has the world ended?
So anyway, I got them back. And that morning I was like, okay, phew.
Yeah, exactly. It's a shitty kind of phew.
It is. But now I'm like, okay, well, we have this like terrible stress put on us where, you know, we don't know if it's going to be the end of the world or society as we know it, or there's going to be this terrible war. What's going to happen to our youth? All these things. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, new story.
Oh, yeah.
Next. How does that happen?
Moving on. Next.
I don't get it. Like, no, you don't understand what you put me through. You're going to finish this one out for me.
Wait, no, don't finish it out. Well, don't finish it out.
But, like, I know. Make up or something. Like, come on, don't leave it this way.
Well, because then he does come. But so then Trump does come back after he makes those comments. And he says that on Wednesday or Thursday, he's like, oh, maybe I wasn't tough enough.
Oh, God. I know.
You know, well, we're locked and loaded. And, you know, it's like, my language wasn't strong enough. It's like, no. It was... Let's just leave it where it was at.
I have a friend in real life, but on Facebook. On Facebook, this real life friend.
Okay. Thank you for the distinction.
Posted this picture, and it was just a picture of Donald Trump where he looked like he was pondering something. And it wasn't a meme because this person put their own caption. Yeah. But basically it said like, I know what I'll do to get out of this investigation.
Yeah.
If I blow up the world, there's no evidence.
No problem. Yeah, no world, no problem.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yep.
Oh, Lord.
So, speaking of that investigation, so something that normally would be like huge news and would take over our lives would be Mueller assembling a grand jury, right?
Yeah, to investigate Russia.
That should be like big news. The news cycle should still be talking about that.
News cycle? Nope. Like, actually, when you brought it up tonight before we started recording, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot that happened.
That's a thing.
Too busy thinking about being obliterated in a nuclear attack. Silly me.
Yeah, it was pretty awful.
Yes.
Oh, back to the nuclear attack and our text message exchange. My favorite part was like, you're like, I'm really fun at parties. I'm like, yeah, Rachel's parlor tricks.
What was that in response to?
You said that you wrote a paper on it, and I don't know. You're talking about how you wrote a paper on it. And I was like, wow. Wow.
I'm really fun at parties, in case you haven't figured it out.
Boy, there's Rachel.
Yeah. People invite me to all their parties, and they're like, please go stand in a corner and depress people.
Funning things up again.
Hey,
have we talked about you being a fun eater on this particular show?
I don't know.
I'm certain we have.
I'm sure we've talked about the fun eater thing. I am the ultimate. I'm queen fun eater.
Yeah, you, if there's fun to be found in a room, you're like, I'm hungry.
I'm going to chomp the shit out of that fun.
This fun.
Did we ever talk about where the term fun eater came from?
I think we did. Okay. I think we might be repeating it, but let's give the short version.
Okay. So the term fun eater came, I play Words with Friends.
We used to play.
Yeah. I play it. Corey and I used to play together, and now I just play with a couple other people.
But I think the last two people that are doing it.
Right. And I think that I was, maybe it was when Corey was still playing it, and I tried to play, like, I tried to make a word out of another word to get a triple word score, and the word I tried to make was fun eater, and, you know, Words with Friends is like, that's not a word. I'm like, well, that should be a word.
There's no reason that shouldn't be a word.
I told Corey, and he's like, well, you are the fun eater. I was like, hey. Yeah, but you know, I'm not the you guys have both chomped the fun out of room on occasion.
Oh, okay, so I'm gonna say this. Yes, I have eaten some fun. Corey's eaten more fun than me, though.
I agree.
But you and Bobby eat the most fun.
Shut up.
But you do. You guys are hungrier for fun
than
me.
We're that argument again about how Bobby and I are the responsible ones and more mature
and like, hungry for fun.
Yeah,
to eat and dispose of.
It's funny though. I actually tell my students that I'm the fun eater.
Oh, see,
I do. I'm like, I am the fun eater. Anytime you're gonna try and have fun in my classroom, I'm gonna chomp the fun right out of this room. They look at me like I'm insane, which is fine because I want them to have a healthy fear of me.
Yeah, there you go. Right? That's great. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Maybe I should try that.
Put it on my syllabus.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
So I know you were going to mention, because Bobby has factions of his family that are conservative. Actually, most of Bobby's family is conservative, but you do too. And but you're, you get emails, huh?
So yeah. So my stepdad, who it gets complicated because I love my stepdad, you know, I love him. he's a connection to my biological mother. You know, she died a couple of years ago. And so he and I have stayed in touch ever since she died. And that's really important to me because I didn't know her very well, but I've kind of gotten to know her better through him. So I want to stay in touch with him. I love him. There's like many great qualities about him. However, he is sort of a raging conservative.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's more of like, I don't know. I mean, he grew up in like a tiny, like almost non-existent town. Like,
so did I, though.
South of San Antonio. Yeah, he was born in the like 1917, 1918 or whatever. He's like a different generation. He was a lot older than my biological mom.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so he's, I don't know what year he was born.
Well, because he'd be 100 right now.
You're right. He grew up in the 20s.
Okay.
I don't know. He's old. He's in his 80s.
Okay.
Math is not
my strong point. No, it's fine.
So anyway, in the last couple of years, for the longest time, my stepdad and my mom, my biological mother, didn't have email. They didn't have a computer. And those were the good old days. So about a year before she died, they got an iPad that they had a joint email account.
Oh, could you imagine them setting that up together? Oh my God, I can hear it now.
Okay, so they had an iPad. Now he actually has a Mac. And he uses the, you know, so he sends out a weekly email that
really
So he sends out a weekly email that's like me and his two daughters and then some other people. It's like a weekly email basically just telling us what went on during his week, basically making
and you're sure. Like, I know.
No, so the point of the email is actually good because none of his daughters don't live in Wichita Falls where he's at. And so it's sort of like, if you don't hear from me, then you know, like, okay. If you don't hear from me, like, at least once a week, something's wrong. Okay. So here's my weekly, like, I'm okay. Perfect. I love it. I want to hear what you did during the week. But the price for getting that email is like the 20 email forwards that you get during the week where, you know, so this week, so it's always like some conspiracy theory about Hillary or Obama.
Oh, my God.
And how, you know, before the election, before Obama was even out of office, it was like how Obama was going to enact Sharia law and make it so that he could be president for a third term. And we all had to be caught, you know, aware of that.
Please. Why can't that happen?
I know, right? Come on, Obama. Where's that Sharia law you're talking about? So his email today really just sort of indicated to me how fast things can turn. So on our last show, we had our last show like after the healthcare vote, and we were talking about how McCain, voted against the healthcare.
I respect for McCain.
Yeah. So I would have thought that my stepdad would have been team John McCain, POW. You know, my stepdad was in two wars, fought in the Navy. I can't remember. Two wars, you know, he's very patriotic, whatever.
Yeah, you're not supposed to disrespect a veteran.
Right. And so now my stepdad's forwarding this email that is basically tearing John McCain apart. And I know that it's in response to his vote on the healthcare bill and really just like tearing apart his character, because supposedly after he came back from Vietnam and being a POW, his wife wasn't pretty enough anymore. And he was like, she had some sort of like sickness, and then he came back and she had gained all this week, and somehow she was 5 inches shorter. Okay, and I'm like, is that even possible? But he was no longer in love with her, so he divorced her and then ended up marrying the person he's married to now, who's incredibly wealthy. And the whole email was like about how he's deceitful and he's a horrible person.
Okay, wait. Have you watched The Deer Hunter? You don't come back from war and you're like a normal human being. Well, you
granted,
come back.
Absolutely. But my point is, it's like, if John McCain had voted yes on the healthcare bill, I would have never seen that email. Ever.
Absolutely.
That email would have never been written. But so they're taking this, like, they don't mention the healthcare bill in the email, but it's essentially this attempt or this, you know, it's like, we're going to send this email out to the base. And
a character assassination.
And I'm just like, wow. Like, I bet if 2 weeks ago, if I had asked you, or 3 weeks ago, if I had asked you about John McCain, you would have had nothing but good things to say about
Absolutely.
Him.
So,
and now, that's what I got to deal with.
Okay. I am very sorry about that. Yeah. And John McCain does not deserve that. Mm. No. But, so, okay, so you know that I frequent Fox News, right?
I do.
And I do a lot of studies, and I try to see what's going on, and I go to the comments on Fox News, because they don't now allow comments on most news sites, but Fox News does, thank
Fox
God.
Fox is all, sure, come on.
And they're so terrible. I mean, there's the trolls, and then there are the people that, like, use the N-word and do terrible things. Actually, side note, I reported someone on Facebook for using the N-word.
Really?
Yeah, it was so satisfying.
So somebody in your friend like your was like a friend of a friend.
I don't even know what it was. It was like on some article.
Oh,
I read.
Okay. So it wasn't even somebody you knew.
No.
Well, good. I'm glad you.
I mean, No. I hope. I mean, I'm certain I do. I come from a small town in the mountains. Yes. Yeah. I know people who probably say the N-word probably frequently.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on Facebook, I found it this one time, and I reported it.
Report. It's a little things that sometimes make us feel we have control.
My part.
Yeah.
But my point is, I've been taking, so I kind of use the Fox News comments as my gauge as to where things are right now. And yes, McCain, yesterday, they turned on him very quickly.
Oh, turned on him.
Yeah, it's really, really sad.
It is. It's to me, it's like if he had voted the way they wanted him to, we would not hear any of this at all. But it's like now we're going to tear him apart because, and we're going to like go way back into his past. And it's like, so my stepdad's sending me this email, right? Like he divorced his first wife and married somebody else who he thought was prettier. And I'm like, so like Trump?
Yeah, like, thank you.
What's your point here? Like, Trump did it twice, and you know that if he hadn't been elected president, he probably would do it a third time.
Yes, because Melania would leave him.
God, I hope
she's
so.
She's like an indentured servant right
she's,
now.
You know, she's definitely past her expiration date with him.
Oh, for sure.
He's stuck with her right now.
Oh, God. Just the thought of it.
Sorry, everybody.
I mean, there's like, if there was anybody I did not want to think about naked or in a sexual
and
way.
And you know that they've had sex at least once.
Oh, stop.
At least
God.
Once.
I hope it's artificial insemination. Anyway.
For her sake.
Yeah.
Although she, you know what?
She deserves
she
it.
She married it.
God, she deserves it.
You know, she wanted that money.
Oh, that's so
I don't
gross.
Feel sorry for her.
Me either. Barf. Okay. Well,
that just fell apart quickly.
I know. Sorry. Okay. Well, speaking of trashy things, this is a good trashy thing.
Okay.
So the Demolition Derby is coming up.
Yes.
And I am so excited.
I know.
God,
we talk about this every year.
I know. It's just, I don't know what it is. If it's the crunching cars or if it's the smell, because it's always like
there's definitely a smell that's in the air. It's like it's usually really hot, although it cools down in the evening.
Yes,
but it's hot, and then there's the smell of gasoline.
Yeah, it reminds me of being a kid too. Just like cars that weren't built very well.
Oh yeah,
like leak.
It's just like that smell of gasoline, the dust and the dirt in the air.
Yeah,
the certain sort of just. Characters that you see.
And there's like the excitement where like the two cars are the last two cars running.
Yeah.
And they're like, they, you know, they see each other from across the arena.
Yeah.
And then they just go right
the
into
sound
each other.
Of it, like the screech in the metal.
It's just, it's amazing. So, okay. So I guess here's what I'm trying to tell you. I have a thing for trash sportsmanship.
I appreciate this.
I like monster trucks. I like professional wrestling.
Yeah.
I even like, I saw NASCAR live and I was even like, I get it now. Because I would see NASCAR on TV. I'm like, who are these people that
I've
watch this?
I've never seen NASCAR live. I guess I should check that out sometime.
When the cars go
I've
by
done
you.
I've done a monster truck rally.
Yeah, oh, that's so
and
fun.
And it's super fun.
God.
Like, you can't help but get caught up in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. And there is like,
although it's like, if I watch it on TV, I'm just like, I don't care. It's like, you have to be there to like really appreciate it and experience it.
And so for NASCAR, for sure, there's this something about like when the car comes by you, because that's really the only, it just goes around this track.
Yeah.
It's kind of boring, but when it goes by, you're like, holy crap, what just happened? That was like so fast.
Super fast.
So
I feel like
thing.
I don't want to bring the mood down.
Oh, but you do.
I do.
It's time for you're hungry.
I want to jump back a little bit because we sort of skipped over the Charlottesville thing. And
oh my God, we did.
Yeah, and I only want to skip over it in the sense of like, I'm swearing a lot tonight. Why the fuck is this the world that we live in? But it is the world. I mean, it's like the events of this weekend. It's not like I didn't know this is the world we lived in. It's just this weekend just sort of highlighted that for some people, it's like totally okay to just like be like, yeah, that's my world. And Donald Trump has completely made it okay to buy a tiki torch at Home Depot and...
Excuse me, this is where you're wrong, because the Fox News comments tell me that it's Obama's fault.
Wait, what?
Obama made the race relations in this country what they are right now, just so you know.
I have heard that
certain
relatives. Yeah.
That's all I read.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, racist assholes feel emboldened by their idiot emperor now.
Oh,
that's
absolutely.
What happened.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with Obama. Oh, no, actually it does. Because you know what? You saw a black man in power
and
you
freaked the fuck
really
out.
Scared.
Yeah. You freaked the fuck out.
Because I guess that's white fragility right there, right?
So one of the things that I wanted to just talk about really quickly was So you were talking about earlier, you're from a small town in Northern California, right?
Yes.
I was born in Wichita Falls, Texas. I grew up in various southern towns. I lived in Austin for a while. Then I moved to North Carolina. So when something like this happens, and it's not the first time, people like kind of automatically attack and hold up a certain region of the U.S. as being the problem. Like, yes, the South is the problem, or Texas is the problem. And I'm like, I get it that Texas or all of those southern states are red states, and they're part of the reason why Trump was elected. But I'm like, you can't tell me. It's like, there are, and I'm not trying to, like, not all Texans or not all Southerners, but I get really mad because I'm like, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of shitty ass racist people in Northern California.
Oh my God.
Like, look in your own backyard. Let's not try and say that the problem is this other region just because that it happened there. But mm-hmm. But what happened in Berkeley earlier this year?
Actually, so firsthand account, during the riots after the Rodney, what do they call the Rodney King riots? What are they?
The LA riots.
The LA riots. Yeah. Okay. So during the LA riots, I remember I came to school. I was in sixth grade or fifth grade. I came to school, and the first thing this kid came in the room, and he was super mad. And he said, those N words are going to burn down the whole city. And it was just crazy to me. And yeah, I remember being in sixth grade being like, oh my God, this is a horrible human being that just said that to me. And like, understanding how wrong it was and what was happening. It just was.
I just am thinking of it today because, like, in my Facebook feed today, there were people who were, you know, like, just condemning, like, people as a whole, like entire cities and states, for the environment that they breed. And I'm like, well, I get it on one hand, but don't tell me that you, this person who lives in Sacramento, California, that you have not seen it here in your own city, because it exists. And we've had mosques that have been bombed. Mm-hmm. We've had mosques that have been defaced. There's a Jewish center here that was bombed, you know, like set on fire several years ago. There are hate crimes in Sacramento. In Berkeley, they had, you know, Nazi rallies just this year. And then last summer. And it's like, look in your own backyard before you start just like making a sweeping generalization about a state. Because Texas is way more red than California, but it's not all shitty people. And you're so busy focused on that you don't even think about the fucking shitty racist neighbors that you have.
And also, there's the whole State of Jefferson movement right here in our own state. God, I'm sorry.
That's on us.
Yeah.
That's on us. Yeah.
I'm owning that.
I get really frustrated by the generalizations and the cliches that people resort to when they when they start making these arguments, like, let Texas succeed or let the South succeed again. Oh. I'm like, okay, well, what about the fucking shitheads here in California?
Some Fox News commenter said something to the effect of, oh, I hope North Korea does bomb California. Less weirdos for us to worry about.
Motherfucker.
You're going to say that me and my family, we all deserve to die because you don't like us for some reason.
He specifically said Sacramento. It wasn't even Northern California. He specifically said Sacramento. Let's tell everybody that Guam is actually, you know, called Sacramento.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, see, you know what's really funny is I'm getting all mixed up because I've seen so many of those type of comments.
Keep your idiotic comments straight.
Yeah, I know. That's really my bad. I am so sorry.
It's been an exhausting week, hasn't it?
It's really been terrible. And like, coupled with, you know, you have your like own life and your own daily job. Like, I actually have shit going on, but you know what? I haven't even been able to, I can't even acknowledge that stuff.
Yeah. I know. It's like, I have bills to pay and jobs to do and
I got some problems.
You know, and then it's just like, my mind is consumed with with these big things.
You know what, to be honest, so that was the nice thing for me about the North Korea scare. I'm going to call it a scare now because I don't know what else to call it until we're all dead. But it was one of those moments where, you know, that night I was like, you know what, nothing matters but my little family here. Like, these things I have immediately. I texted my closest friends.
Yeah.
I called my mom that night to make sure our plan was still okay. I really did. That's actually kind of embarrassing, but I did.
No, that's...
But it was like, okay, you know what? When it comes down to it, these are the things I actually need. I need my family and I need food and water. Yeah. I actually put water. Oh my God, this is embarrassing. I filled up all our like jugs and pitchers with water. I know.
You got a plan.
I guess. Be so prepared. Not only am I a hypochondriac, maybe I'm a political hypochondriac.
It's okay.
Too.
there's nothing wrong with, you know, you're not turning your home into a bunker. You're just being safe.
Exactly. Yet. But actually, then I was like, because, you know, we go grocery shopping as we make things. And so it was one of those times where I was like, oh, I wish I'd overbought stuff. Like, I wish I had a ton of food in my house. We're talking about that,
how we should both like be like total preppers. And like,
yeah, like you heard about the food buckets, right? Yeah. Like, I need some food buckets.
I do have a basement that I could fill up with like dehydrated foods. I should
if you
do
could
that.
Fit just you and Corey. And so I might have to go and get in that basement for
Our basement. You're welcome to our thanks. Basement. It's a small basement, but there's enough room for all of us.
Okay, thanks.
We just might be a little knee to knee, you know.
It's fine. Because I don't even know the rules of war. Like, we don't know. Americans are so wimpy now. Like, I don't even know what
I'm
we
gonna
do.
I'm going to make sure that we have some board games down there.
Okay. Oh, Parcheesi is like a staple of war.
Yes. Some lanterns, some battery powered lanterns, and okay. some board games, and we're going to be fine.
Great.
For at least a while.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I don't even know like how long you're supposed to wait to come out.
I actually was thinking, I'm like, I don't know if I have like, we don't have a battery powered radio. I need
a transistor radio, right?
Yeah. Corey has been talking about getting a transistor radio. I don't think we have one, but I should look into it.
Okay. Is it time for Boring Corner?
Oh, God, please.
I don't even know, like, what is Boring Corner anymore?
I know. Like, we're alive. That's pretty boring.
Yeah. You know what we did this week?
What?
Okay. So, bad week for this. But we decided to have Vegan Week.
Huh.
Yeah. Just because we... I want to encourage more grains and more vegetables.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to find ways to do that. So we had, you know, salad every day, and I tried to come up with a creative dinner every night. And
you sound
bottom line,
so enthusiastic about
bottom
it.
Line is I need cheese in my life. I can't do that.
What kind of stuff did you eat?
Well, I made stir fry, which is fine. We make that on normal nights. But then there was one night where I was like, okay, we're going to have veggie dogs and french fries. Those are vegan. It's a vegetable. Yeah. I mean, it was
what's funny is like you and I are both vegetarian. And I'm the same way. It's like I can't ever imagine going back to eating meat. And I have friends who are vegan, and I love their commitment to it.
Yeah.
And their strength with it. And I'm a shitty vegan. Like I feel like sometimes I just feel like a shitty vegetarian, you know?
Oh,
you know, it's
I'm
like,
I'm a pretty good vegetarian.
You're what?
I feel like I'm a good vegetarian.
Well, so here's the thing. It's like, for example, if I go visit my stepdad in Texas and I go to Wichita Falls, he takes me out for Mexican food. I'm
you don't
like,
ask,
all right,
okay.
Don't ask, don't tell. Like, that's what I mean by shitty vegetarian.
Okay.
Like I'm not going to, I'm like, all right, I'm going to just eat this and hope that I A, don't get sick, and, you know, B, I'm not eating lard or whatever.
Here's my thing. Every time I ask, I'm always like, why did I do? Like, I remember I called ahead to this restaurant about their minestrone. I'm like,
that was a place that we went together. Remember in, wasn't it that place that in...
This is actually for Espanol.
Oh, okay. But, I was thinking of that place we went.
But I'm sure, because I always do it. I should just have don't ask, don't tell, but I just do it because I know I'm going to taste something and be like, ugh, and then I won't eat anything. So then I just try to plan ahead. Because it's like, once you know it's there, because here's the thing, none of us are going to die, like, if we accidentally eat
a
meat product.
No, but we do feel pretty... Like, I don't want to eat animal broth or lard.
For me, it's like the biggest ick factor. And that's my whole thing with gelatin. Like, it's not that big of a deal. A marshmallow is not that offensive to a vegetarian, I suppose. But once you start to think about gelatin and how disgusting it is, I just can't do it.
Yeah, it's a line that's hard to cross. Like, once you've gone on the other side of it, then you're like, it's disgusting. I don't like to think about it.
Exactly. So
that's your boring corner.
Yeah.
So my boring corner is I took my cat to the vet this week. I know, right? Really boring.
Was it a routine checkup?
Yeah. So I took my 16 and a half pound cat Baxter to the vet.
Uh-oh. Did you get in trouble?
No. They did say he needs to lose a pound. Whatever. You know. Yeah, he eats his feelings. Okay, fine.
God, whatever.
He eats his feelings like the rest of us. But I take him in, and, you know, it's a routine checkup. So I'm going to see the actual vet, the doctor, but first they have the vet tech who, like, kind of, you know, just like, oh, why are you here today? Whatever. And, okay, here's his chart. When was the last time he was in? Oh, we need to go weigh him. So the vet tech is like, oh, I'm going to take Baxter in the, you know, why don't you take him out of the carrier? Why don't you take him out of the carrier? I want to make sure that he doesn't scratch me. And I was like, excuse me?
That's a weird thing to say.
I'm like, I turned into that total mom on the playground where I was like, my handsome son. is well behaved. Thank you very much.
Don't talk about my good little boy like that.
Seriously, like I felt myself like puff up. I was like, my boy does not scratch. And sure enough, he was so good. But I got so indignant. Just like, you take that back. My son did not start the fight.
Oh, okay. So I guess I'm the opposite parent because Rosalie. So, okay. Anytime she goes and stays away from Bobby and I, she acts up. It's like if we're gone for a couple days, and yeah. I don't know if it's to make us like to punish us or what it is.
It's really normal that kids do that.
It is.
It is.
So yeah. Anyway, she stayed with my cousin for a couple days, and we got her back, and she was kind of just an asshole the first couple days. We're like, oh God. So then I go to pick her up from school, and Taylor, her teacher,
yeah.
She's like, oh, I need to talk to you. She threw rocks at a little girl today.
Oh.
I'm like, what? And I was not about to defend her. I'm yeah. like, I am so sorry. Like, I can't believe that happened. Yeah. I'm really, really sorry. I'm sorry. I'm only laughing because of the conversation I had with Rosalie. But our daycare provider, she's so sweet. She's like, you know, don't beat yourself up. Yeah. It's out of character for her. She doesn't normally do this. Don't worry. I just really wanted you to know because it was a big deal today and she got in a lot of trouble. And you should. Like, yeah, you should probably talk to her about it because since we talked about it so much today, I'm like, okay, Roger, like, got you.
Yeah.
So we're in the car at home, and I'm like almost crying because I'm like, I can't believe she did that. So I'm like, Rosalie, why did you throw rocks at your friend? And she's like, well, she threw rocks at me first. And I said, well, that's not the story I heard. And even if she did, that's not how you handle conflicts. That's not what you do.
Yeah.
And I said, but I really don't think she did throw rocks at you first. And she goes, no, she did. Taylor, we had a rock throwing party. Taylor had a rock throwing party and she threw rocks at me first.
Oh, nice try, Rosalie.
So I was like, okay. And I was trying not to laugh. I'm like, Rosalie, I'm fairly certain that Taylor did not have a rock throwing party. As a matter of fact, I can almost guarantee you that she did not.
Points for trying.
I just like it in her mind, though. She really thought she had like a home run with that.
She's like, I got a solid alibi.
I'm like, God, my kid thinks I'm really dumb.
Okay, and so in my defense as that playground mom,
yeah.
My cat usually, he is an asshole at home all the time.
Okay.
He really is. Like, he, like, out of nowhere will, like, bully another cat out of a seat or, like, a, you know, somewhere where they're laying.
In Baxter's space.
Yeah, it's like, we're just like, we you know, Baxter is a bully. We call him Butster. You know?
Aww.
But... whenever we take him to the vet, he just turns into this, like, very docile. I think, you know, he's scared, probably.
Yeah.
And he just becomes very docile. He never scratches or whatever. So, in that respect, I'm like, listen, I know my son can be an asshole, but on the playground, he's really well-behaved.
Oh, I feel you, Rachel. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
I was very protective. My son's reputation.
I really had a bad cat. That, like, actually scratch vets and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they see their fair share.
They exist. I know that.
But Baxter, I wouldn't see him and think,
oh. But all of my cats are pretty, they don't like it. They're pretty good, though, when they go to the vet. They they save their jerkiness for at home.
Yeah. Usually Rosalie does, too.
Yeah. Usually. I'm glad we got that boring corner done.
I kind of feel like we purged a little bit.
We
I feel better.
I still feel alive, so there's that.
Yeah. God, and Rosalie was sick on Friday.
She was?
Yeah. And well, so that's the funny thing is I had to call in sick to work on Friday.
Oh.
And then by, like, you know, Friday 4 p.m., she's like, hey.
I'm good.
And so, which was great. So we could still go to the show Saturday night. But it was, you know, that on top of this
stressful
week.
And very stressful week.
I feel so much better.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rachel. Thanks, listeners.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Now we'll go watch the news or something and be brought back down. But whatever. Actually, I'm lying. It wasn't our podcast purging. It's because my wine kicked in.
Same. It's really good tonight.
Oh, boy. So what lesson did we learn?
Drink more.
Yay!
Drink more, worry less.
Oh, my God. It's a commercial.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you, Paloma. Are we done?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I mean, I'm done.
Good night, everybody. Good Girls Tote was brought to you by... Well, first of all, it was... produced by Paloma Jordan and Rachel LeBrock.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about our friends visiting from out of town. Okay,
engineered by Paloma Jordan and Bobby Jordan.
Yes.
Dinner provided by, can I say?
Go for it.
Domino's Pizza.
It worked.
Childcare services provided by Bobby Jordan, Corey Vick, and Mark and Andrea Williams.
From Spain.
From Spain. So our friends from Spain are visiting with their precious daughter, Maya, who is like Rosalie's BFF forever.
She sees her picture. And anytime we have any of the old pictures coming up on our Apple TV, she's like, oh, there's Maya. That's my best friend.
So adorable. So they are downstairs with the girls. Yeah, and just a reminder to keep your friends close.
Yeah, and be nice to people.
Be nice to each other.
Yeah.
We're all still alive. Ooh,
that's how Jerry Springer ends his show.
Shit.
Be nice to each other.
Thanks, Paloma.
You know what? If Jerry Springer's right.
Who's the fun eater now? Good night.